Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hector. 800-531-3815, toll-free, coast-to-coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And the article this week is about the advantages of the current of the new tax bill, some of the advantages that are there for small business. And one of them includes the article is primarily about the increased expensing of capital purchases, and so check that out when you get a chance. Believe it or not, you'll appreciate the irony in this. We're having some technical difficulty connecting up with our top technical expert, our top technology expert, Alan Friedman. I promise you he'd be on with us, and he still probably will be. We're still working on that. Aaron's working hard on that to try to get him connected up with us, but we'll get back to Alan in just a little bit. But I do want to continue. I do want to talk about technology. I want to while we're waiting on Alan, I want to talk to you about some things that I think are important for you to think about. You know, the other day we were talking with Steve Wittenborn. I guess it was yesterday with IBM, and one of the things that I said that Steve and I were talking about was the fact that everybody geared up so much for Y2K, and including us little guys. You know, I got letters just like you did from vendors, from customers, who said, you know what, we're going to make sure we're Y2K compliant, and the only way we can make sure that we don't have any kind of a breakdown because of Y2K is if we know that our vendors, which was me and which was you receiving the letter, if our vendors aren't compliant. So you've got to prove to us that you're Y2K compliant. So we did, and the way we did that was we got really busy, and we made sure that our software was up to date. We made sure that our hardware was up to date, and that everything was Y2K compliant. And it cost us money. We spent a lot of money on that stuff. And two things happened after that. Number one, We said, you know what? We spent all this money. Now we got to pay for it, and many of us had payments on it on the stuff that we bought and the time that we spent. And so we said, you know what? Thank goodness this is going to last us for a while, because we don't need to be doing this every year. This is too expensive. And so we did that, and then the economy turned, didn't it? And it's been turned now to a large degree, and for a lot of people, for over 3 years now, and it's turning around. It's coming back. We're going to have a good 2003. May not be great, but 2004 is going to be brighter, barring any unforeseen circumstances. 2004 is going to be pretty good, I think. But the point I want to make is that between now and then, meaning 3 years ago, three and a half years ago, when we were getting ready for Y2K, maybe as many as 4 years ago, between now and then, a lot of things have happened in the technology industry that maybe we don't know about, because we've been living off of the technology that we had, that we created, that we bought and paid for, getting ready for Y2K. And so it's quite possible that some of our operations, some of our technology, the technology components of our operations, could literally be as much as 4 years old. And if you haven't been keeping up with the new capability that's out there, if you haven't been keeping up with that, then you could be really behind the competitive curve. and you could find yourself, your company, in an uncompetitive situation. And so what I'd like to encourage you to do is to make this a goal for the next month, 2 months, 6 months. Find out what's available for your industry. Find out the new technology that's out there for small businesses in particular, but for your small businesses in general, but your industry in particular. Find out what's available out there. Make sure that if it's available and you don't have it, that's not causing you to be uncompetitive. That's what I'm worried about, and I just hope you'll take advantage of that. And don't forget to check into the direct expensing increases. That could help you pay for some of this new technology that you may need. 20 Till, stay with me. I'll be right back. Alan Friedman's in the house. He'll be with me when we come back after these messages. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, thank you very much for joining us. Imagine the irony of not being able to technologically connect up with our technology guru, Alan Friedman. He's the author of the Internet Glossary and Quick Reference Guide, also the Computer Encyclopedia. He's our good friend, Alan Friedman. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Better late than never, though, right?
Absolutely.
The Computer Desktop Encyclopedia is the name of the product, the book, and the CD, and the website, and everything. Alan, what's going on in the world of technology these days? I don't know if you heard me, but I was just reminding everybody that some people may actually be as much. If you think about it, it's been 3.5 years since Y2K, and a lot of people were compliant, you know, around a half a year before that. So there could actually be a lot of people out there who are sitting on four-year-old technology.
Well, that's terrible. I mean, you have to be on top of this because we need the money. I mean, we've been telling you that now for 30 years, and it hasn't sunk in yet.
That's right. Yeah. What's wrong with you folks? Get up there and spend that money.
I don't know. Well, there are signs that the computer industry is coming back, and not that it ever really left. I mean, you couldn't take it away if you tried, but things seem to be a little better. I'll tell you one thing I'm extraordinarily happy about. My ISP did a whole bunch of spam filtering. And yeah. It is now a delight to get my email.
Wow.
For the first time in I can't tell you how many months. I don't know what they did. I don't care if they threw it all in the trash can.
Spam has really hurt the Internet, hasn't it?
It really has. And I know they're spending a fortune. They had to add servers to just process all this stuff. But I know I only have to get rid of 3 or 4 things now instead of 100.
Wow.
So,
Well, and you know, there was a time... And maybe they're still doing it, but there was what I understood was that in any given night, AOL filters 800 million of those emails.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
And one there was one Thursday about a month or two ago where there was a billion one night.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Here's the funny one. There is a funny one out there. It's a spam email about how to get rid of spam.
Oh, that's one of the bigger ones.
Isn't that funny?
Well, they're clever.
Yeah.
I don't know what they can do about it, because there are legitimate people that you want to get to, you know, we want to get to our audience, and it's quite a system. It's quite a thing. I don't know. I don't know if there's a solution with all the government proposals that are pending and all that kind of stuff, but all I know is that it can be processed out. They're using a lot more sophisticated techniques to analyze the email, things that they call Bayesian filters and things like mm-hmm. that, which really analyze the content. They seem to be doing a pretty good job, because I don't think I've gotten something, or I didn't get something I should have.
I had an ISP one time who was doing a real good job of that, and they would send me a file once a month to show me what had been filtered, or once a week, and I'd go there and they never caught anything that they weren't supposed to catch.
Uh-huh.
And they would let about maybe 10% through, maybe 5 to 10% through. Mm-hmm. So they had a good setting there. But the thing
But it's costing them a fortune. It's costing everybody a fortune.
Yeah. But the thing about it, though, is the good news, though, Alan, what you just described is the good news, and that is the fact that we're using technology to solve this problem, and we're not looking to the government to solve it.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you don't want to get the government involved when they don't have to, because then it becomes a bureaucracy and 47 layers of red tape. But, you know, sometimes you think they should just get in there and do something. If they could, I don't remember what they can do.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what they can do. They'll pass a law. I mean, listen.
Yeah, but then
the
families go out of the country.
The only thing that's more dangerous about a politician trying to be an economist, trying to be somebody who thinks they know something about the economy, is a politician who thinks they know something about the internet.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's the only thing more dangerous than a politician who tries to fix the economy. One of the things he was bandied about, Alan, was charging a fee for email. Every email that goes out would be a nickel or something like that.
Well, you know, that is a proposal that's out there, and I'm wondering if that isn't so bad, because you know, if you get, well, you know, it all depends. Depends how many emails you get a day. If you get 10 serious emails a day, that's $15 a month. That's not bad.
Well,
but
the thing about it, though, Alan, is what about people like you and me who have opt-in subscribers?
Well, we don't right now. You do.
But these are people who have said, Jim, I want to receive your newsletter.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true. That's
and
true.
So I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to spend money for that, because I'm able to give my newsletter away. I don't want to have to charge them for it.
That's right.
And
I'll tell you something. The web is going paid, whether people realize it or not. Within the next 5 to 10 years, is it going to be a paid system? And it may not be such a bad idea, because it's a phenomenal delivery mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And why not? It just can't keep going on forever for nothing.
There are more and more paid sites, aren't they?
They are.
Where the information is not free, it's paid.
Slowly but surely.
I'm going to resist that on my end as long as I can. As long as I can get good people like Palo Alto Software and IBM and Office Depot to help me, you know, to fund this, what we're doing, you know, make it available for free to my audience, to our small business heroes. As long as we can do that, we're going to try to keep ours open.
That's right. Well, that's good. You know,
But that doesn't mean that there couldn't be a paid element of what we do or what somebody else does.
That's true.
You know, there are something just like yours, like your situation.
That's
Stand
true.
By, Alan. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Alan Friedman. He's the author of the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Alan Friedman is our guest. And, Alan, give us your website, please.
It's computerlanguage.com.
Computerlanguage.com, and that's where you can find the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, which is also a book that you can find at your local bookstore, which will have a CD in the back of it, by the way, folks. And or you can subscribe to Alan's service by
just going to the website.
Just go to the website and get you can get one CD, or you can get a subscription, can't they?
That's correct.
But you can also find out. You can also take a test drive of some of the things that Alan offers on my website as well, on the homepage there. Alan, let's talk about some of the things that you see coming around the pike, around the corner for us in the future with regard to technology. What are some of the things that you're seeing, either from the standpoint of a gadget or a tool or just a concept?
Well, I think you're going to see wireless taking off again. Everyone is talking about it. It's not anything that's unknown, but it seems to be gaining a lot of popularity. And I think you're going to see a lot more hotspots, places you can go. There's your Starbucks type of location where you bring your laptop in and get on the internet. I think that is going to increase slowly but surely. You know, the web is really in its infant stages, and I think people just don't quite get that yet, because they think that it happened, it was a dot-com bust, you know, it's all the glory is over, but this is going to be an insidious thing that's going to continue to grow. And I think people really have to recognize, especially the small business, recognize that this is a real wave that's just going to keep on going and gaining momentum and to get on the bandwagon in some way, not many different ways, but
it's hard to believe that we actually could be talking about people who are, you know, a Luddite who's decided that the internet's, you know, never going to last or something like that's the buggy whip argument, right?
Well, that's true. The internet's a little scary when you think of some of the viruses that people have put out there. How quickly they can, like the slammer in January,
yeah.
if you recall
yeah.
that one.
Yeah.
It is a little fragile. I mean, it's the most amazing technology that has ever come down, I think, since the beginning of the whole computer era.
But Alan, that's like saying, oh, people can get killed in automobiles. Let's take them off the highway. Let's get away, do away
well,
with them.
You know,
everything's
true.
Got a downside. But you know, you were talking about back to wireless. I predicted. A year and a half ago that the next killer app was going to be wireless. And I probably heard you say it and then I stole it from you, but the thing is that I've got a wireless laptop right now and I love it. And I was traveling I was doing my show on the road not long ago and I asked my host, I said, I was in an entrepreneurial center, a business incubator, and I said, do you have a high-speed connection? He said no, and I said, "Well, do you think your site, your building here has a hotspot?" He said, "Oh no, I don't. I'm sure we don't." I popped my computer on, and immediately I had a wireless connection.
Mm-hmm.
One of his tenants across the hall had a wireless hotspot, and he didn't even know it.
Is that right?
And I'm telling you, when I opened my computer up, within 2 seconds of my computer coming up, I got a signal that said, "Excellent signal," and then I was available to the world then.
Well, you know, it's the wireless is really sort of the killer mechanism. The killer apps are yet to be out there. In other words, where somebody says, now that I have this wireless connection, and again,
right.
once again, when a lot more of it is happening.
You're saying wireless is sort of like a utility.
It's the utility. It's the mechanism. I mean, it's the killer infrastructure, perhaps.
Right.
But the killer
right.
apps, I think, are yet to be discovered.
That's a good distinction. I'm glad that you corrected me on that, and I agree with you. I think that's exactly right. But folks, you know, the thing about this for small business, though, Alan, is think about how you can use wireless capability. And by the way, Alan, as you know, it's not expensive. I'm talking an extra $150 when you buy a laptop, and maybe $100 for a router. I mean, we're not talking a lot of money here, and it works perfectly when you've got a signal. But when you think about all the different ways that your people can use wireless to make them more productive, it's really exciting, isn't it?
I think so. I think, you know, go down the pike, we'll just get born and have a little incision and have a little wireless thing stuck in our heads. What do you think about that, Jim?
No, I've decided that it's going to be, we're going to have them. It'll be in our molars, one of our molars. They'll drill it and put it into one of our molars.
Now, there you go.
Yeah. That's a little less intrusive, I think. Alan Friedman, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Alan Friedman, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. And that's computerlanguage.com. Don't forget to check out that website when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.